May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Just recently, I was on the way back from doing some ministry in Asheville, North Carolina, stopped in Gatlinburg, or Pigeon Forge, and slept in Pigeon Forge, hung out in Gatlinburg, and my youngest son and his family joined me for a few days. And we vacationed in Gatlinburg a lot with the kids growing up, and this is very nostalgic for me with Livia not being here. And that we referenced at some point a restaurant that one of our friends loves more than any place in the world called Pancake Pantry. And it was always their goal to eat there at least once, and we did a lot of times. But you had to stand outside and wait 2 blocks to go eat breakfast and before you could get in there. But I remember one time sitting in there, I don't know if my son remembers this, but there was a couple sitting to the left, and there was a son. He had to have been maybe 12, 13 years old, but he had some kind of brain damage or something. He was very not normal, he couldn't really, he was noisy, couldn't really eat well. He was just, had some, whether in birth or whatever, some issues. And almost like a severe Down syndrome, but he didn't really look as much that way, but he did look like normal people. And so it was easy. The place was real crowded. It was easy for people's attention to be drawn to him. And so at one point, I just took a quick look, and the Lord said to me, I remember this vividly. Oh, this is a long time ago. He said, "It's me, Chuck." And it just broke my heart. And I remember something that I'd learned or heard years ago before then about Mother Teresa's ministry in Calcutta among the poor, among the people living in the streets. And India is one of the worst places in the world to be, and it's so crowded. And she talked about ministering to Jesus in his distressing disguise, that she saw Christ in all these people. And you have to remember that Jesus came in his incarnation and identified himself with fallen humanity, with broken, fallen humanity. And he didn't come and take on, we use this word a lot lately, pristine humanity. He took on your broken humanity, my broken humanity, the broken humanity of mankind's history. And then he eventually took that to the cross, and fallen, broken humanity was crucified in him, and he raised up a whole new race, a whole new humanity. And that becomes experience for those who are, quote, born again, those who accept his free gift, who put their trust in him and his finished work. But he, and that scripture makes it really clear that if you do it to the least one of these, you're doing it to me. He didn't say you're doing it for me. He said you're doing it to me. It's a mystery. It's a mystery for Westerners to understand. But it's not that Jesus identifies with as a sinner, but Jesus came and clothed himself as sinful man, though he never sinned. He was tempted in every way like unto us. Think about that. Every one of just the people in this room's temptation, he experienced all those. Then add that to all the millions of people who've lived and who will live. He bore their sin. He became sin on our behalf. If you think about the sin, what happened when Adam and Eve fell, it's like sin was like this evil spiritual virus that quickly spread throughout to every human being. Every human being is born with the virus. And it just dehumanizes us. That's what sin does. This sin principle, this sin, this dark thing. And Jesus became the virus to set us free from it. It says he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so that began a journey for me of being able to identify, not excuse what broken humanity does, not excuse what false or lost people do, but understand that Jesus identifies with them because what they're crying out for is healing. They're crying out for wholeness. They're crying out for the love of God. They don't know it, but that's what's happening. It talks about that in Romans 8, that all creation's groaning for the revelation of the new creation. Humanity knows that something's wrong. They just don't know what to do about it. So they try to fix it through sex or power or drugs or alcohol or abuse, all those kinds of control, all that kind of stuff. And so what I began to realize is that Jesus came for those people. Jesus said that a physician comes for the sick, not for those who think they're well. And the difference between our physician the great physician, that Jesus didn't just give us a prescription and say, now, take this regularly and you'll better. He said, I'll take on your disease. I'll identify with your brokenness. Carry it to the cross, crucify it so that you can be free. And so when the Lord said that to me that day, he said, it's me, Chuck. It just blew me away, and I realized that I was seeing Jesus in his distressing disguise. And that in identifying with this person's brokenness, Jesus was calling me to love him, not to want to be from away from him. You know, Olivia's handicap was not something that was grotesque, but people did treat her different. They saw her different. And before she was in a wheelchair, when she would walk and it was crooked and when she was on crutches, because it's just hard for people. It's part of the fall, and it's hard for us to deal with. It's like walking through a battlefield, and there's just these strewn bodies that have been just shattered and torn apart. That's what it's like. It's like that way when we think about people like Vladimir Putin and others who are doing horrible things to people around the world. You know, I was just in Africa, and there's this man's inhumanity to man. It's just horrific. People's children were captured by rebels and slaughtered, and daughters raped, and all that kind of stuff. And our response is, we have to be careful. There's a place of justice. There's a place of accountability. We're called to do that. God, but our attitude must be seeing Jesus in his distressing disguise, crying out to us to pray for them, to even in the times when we're having to exercise justice, to love them, to care about their souls, to care about their brokenness, to walk through the battlefield spiritually, and it break our hearts. And so what I'm discovering is, I know you are, in our country and beyond, we're just seeing humanity's brokenness manifesting itself in such a profound way. And the Christian response to that isn't anger. Even though there are times when, we have to exercise justice, confine people or carry out, you know, the justice of a society, but it's not to hate. God so loved the world. He didn't say God so loved the good people. God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that those who would believe would not perish. The word perish literally means to ruin, to spoil. It's just like self-destructive. They would not perish but have eternal life, life and life more abundant. And so just a challenge to me when I hear those scriptures, it was what I'm going to talk about, but especially now, to have the mind of Christ. And when I see the things in the news, I hear the stuff, and it had a tendency to really offend my humanity, offend my sense of right and wrong, the stuff that's going on with transgender things and all the kind of stuff, is that anger, the wrath of man has never accomplished the righteousness of God. Psalm says that. But it's for us to see Jesus in his distressing disguise and to treat them, even if, again, there's accountability and consequences, to treat them that way, to hear Jesus through their groanings crying out for their healing and for their love and their salvation, their liberation, their deliverance. And the earth is groaning. Things that you see in people that you love that you don't understand, there's a real groaning. And there's a demonic warfare to keep them from being made whole. We see around us in society, it's not just evil people doing evil stuff. It's broken people. We've quoted this verse from the Old Testament that says the Messiah is the desire of the nations. Every human being doesn't know what to say, what to call it, but all they know is there's something empty. That's what Pascal says, is there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every human being. And only Christ can fill that place. And so Jesus cries out through their brokenness for their healing, for their wholeness, for us to love them, not to approve of what they do, but to think what he thinks about them. God so loved the world, the fallen world, the awful world, the dark and evil world. He so loved the world that he gave his son. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.